everybody. Welcome back to In Search of Tarot. I am so excited to be back with you this week on this beautiful full moon in Pisces that we have today. And I have a couple of treats for you. Today's episode is going to feature a really fantastic conversation that I was lucky enough to have with Mallory Hasty of Horoscope Witch, which a lot of you might already be familiar with. And if you're not, please go find her on the internet, on Instagram. She is amazing. I stumbled onto Mallory about 6 months ago or so, just in the Instagram sphere, and started watching her lives. And she's just the real deal, and she's only 25 years old, and it's really crazy. It does not show. And we actually talk about that. We talk about Pisces sometimes feeling a little bit like old souls, and Mal talks about that. Mal is a Pisces sun and a Pisces moon, and she's just got a lot of wisdom to throw your way. So I'm thrilled for you to hear that. Pisces, as many of you may already know, is associated with the moon card. So a full moon in the moon card basically is what we have today. And that's pretty wild. That's pretty juicy. And for this episode, I'm not going to dive into the card as much as I usually do, just because Mal and I really get in there and really talk about it. So I'm going to kind of let that discussion do the talking. But I do want to wish you a very happy full moon. And Erica has created what I think is her best playlist yet, which honestly, they just get better and better every time she does it. But look up Erica Conaway on Spotify. She has all the playlists that we've ever used on the podcast. But this one for the moon is just especially incredible. It is a vibe. It is a mood. It's a great shower listen. That's how I first listened to it, which how appropriate to be in the water for Pisces, for the moon card, listening to those incredible vibes just come through. And Erica just, she kills it every time. So if you haven't checked out those playlists, I really recommend that you do. And then finally, the last thing I want to tell you about before we start this interview is today is the big day. Today, my new tarot book series called In Search of Tarot, in honor of this podcast, and just because I feel like it makes sense and why mess with a good thing, launches pre-order today. So this series is something that I'm creating in collaboration with Megan Turek, who is a beautiful spirit that I've been lucky enough to discover, who actually I read for is how I, or I actually did a tarot tutoring session for her, is how I found Megan. She is a costume designer and a visual artist who also lives out here in Astoria, New York. And her work is just insanely beautiful. And she is learning the tarot. And so I was like, why don't we do a book together? I've had an idea to do this for a long time. And basically, my idea behind this series is based on my own experience learning the tarot. So to just quickly tell you the story, some of you may have heard this already. When I was first learning to read tarot, I spent about a year really kind of struggling with it. You know, I had a deck, I had a million books, and it just wasn't clicking. The meanings weren't sticking. I was always turning to the guidebook, and it just wasn't working. And one day, kind of just out of frustration, I kept hearing people talk about this word intuition, and that you need to trust your intuition and listen to your intuition and develop your intuition. So I decided I was going to take my deck and a journal that was gifted to me by a friend, a very small, you know, like 4x4 journal, to the park, and I was just going to pull a card or two and journal about it and not question myself, but just let whatever wanted to come out. And I got to the park, I sat down on a bench, and for the next hour, I proceeded to go through the entire deck, card after card after card. It just was flying out of me. And that really is the moment that I feel like I became a tarot reader. So in thinking of, I knew I wanted to write a book. I knew I wanted to write or a series of books about tarot, but I wanted it to be different. And I wanted to give the reader that same sense of discovery of their own voice, of really giving them the freedom and kind of the authority and the allowance, the permission to trust their own voice. And more than that, to give them a place to write it down, because I think intuition, you know, a lot of times we will meditate on the meanings, or we'll take a walk and have kind of a big breakthrough, or we'll hear someone say something that will kind of give us a big breakthrough on the cards. But then it doesn't, if we don't write it down, we forget, you know, or it doesn't really stick. And so these guided journals, this In Search of Tarot series is a series of guided journals that are full of prompts and writings about the cards suitable for a beginner through, you know, a thorough practitioner, but they are also full of blank areas and blank pages and prompts for you to respond to, where by the end of this book, you're going to have a written repository of your intuitive thoughts that you can go back and reference again and again. So by the end of the series, this 8-book series, you will have a reference library of your own inspiration, your own intuition. That's the goal anyways. So the way it's working is this Wednesday launches pre-order for book 0, The Fool. This first book is all about The Fool. And that comes out on sale September 24th in honor of my birthday. You know, that felt right. And then we will begin shipping orders, God willing, on September 25th. So pre-order begins today. And you can go on to manofthecards.com and click on shop, and that will give you the link to purchase. We have tried to keep these books extremely affordable, considering the fact that this art is full color. So this is zine style, 5x7 books that we are printing ourselves, but we really felt it important to keep it full color because Megan has hand drawn these incredible watercolor illustrations and they just leap off the page. And we wanted you guys to have them in color. You know, so the cost is $15, which we felt like was hopefully affordable for a lot of you, while still honoring, you know, the time and the work that it's taken to make these books. And it's 24 pages, if you count the cover. So, you know, we tried to keep it short, but juicy. And what's cool, I think, is that Megan, like I said, is learning the tarot. And so these images that you're going to see, there's not one fool image that we've, you know, chosen. Instead, we have selected a series of possible images. You know, these all are coming out of Megan's intuition, and she's learning what these cards mean right along with you as you read them. And she's meditating and drawing and sketching ideas and possibilities. So nothing is fully formed until you, the reader, steps in and forms it yourself. And so really, we'll be creating like hundreds of books, you know, each a little different, because it won't be until the reader steps in and finishes the thoughts that these books will be done. And so this first book is The Fool, and then the plan is every 2 months or so, we're hoping to keep coming out with the next series. So the next book will be book 1, which will be the first line of the major arcana, cards 1 through 7. Book 2 will be the next line. Book 3 will be the third line. And then the subsequent books 4 through 7 will be the lines of the suits of the tarot. So I'm just thrilled. I'm over the moon, pun intended. And I cannot wait for you guys to see these. I'm going to tease, you know, of course, images a little bit on social for you to get a sneak peek and get a feel for what it's about. But I also really want you to be surprised. I want to leave some surprises for you to discover when you get the book, particularly one take on this card that I think people are going to really dig that I've never seen anywhere. That's not like anything out there, I don't think. And I just think is a really cool version. So I just can't wait. I can't wait for you to get it in your hands. I can't wait for you to interact with it. I can't wait to hear your feedback. We definitely are curious to hear what you guys think. And we really have tried to make something unique and special and different for you. And like I said, these truly are works of art. These illustrations are gorgeous, and we've really put a lot of heart and soul into it. So manofthecards.com, click on shop, and you will find Book Zero, The Fool, available starting today for pre-order and then launching on September 24th, full on sale. So yeah, so that's that. All right. So without further ado, I'm going to lead you into this amazing interview with Mal. Let me tell you a little bit more about her. So Mallory is a professional astrologer. She goes by she, her pronouns. She's a tarot reader and educator, a psychic intuitive, and a Yu Sui Reiki practitioner. She's passionate about working with empaths, highly sensitive people, trauma survivors, as well as other healers, intuitives, and holistic business owners. Mallory considers herself to be a trauma-informed, non-judgmental space holder and enjoys seeing her clients recognize their own power and intuitive abilities within their sessions with her. Mal also has a degree in creative writing and religious studies, and her knowledge of poetry and religion often make its way into her psychic work. And we do talk about the fact that Mal identifies as, you know, a practitioner of psychic work and what that means, and how that word gets kind of tossed around and manipulated and doesn't always have a great connotation to it for some people. And we just have a great time together. Mal's amazing. So enjoy this interview. Check out the pre-order for In Search of Tarot. And I will see you, or I guess I will talk to you guys next time. Thanks for being here. All right. Well, Mal, thank you so much for joining me here on In Search of Tarot. I'm so thrilled to have you.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk about, you know, the Pisces full moon and all the vibes, the Pisces vibes with you.
Yeah. It's cool that, you know, I guess Instagram really brought us together. I don't even remember how I found you, but I'm so glad I did. It definitely was watching your witch church. And then I started listening to your podcast and you've read my chart, and I just assumed the moment I found you, I just was really drawn to you and like really felt connected to your way of interpreting things. And I think you're great. Oh. So I'm very thankful to have found you.
Oh, that's so sweet. And I'm grateful we found each other too. And honestly, social media has, knock on wood, been very nice to me. The amount of time I've been on it with my podcast, and you know, I've legitimately met some very, very great souls through Instagram. So I'm glad that we sort of found each other on a whim or whatnot. But
yeah, totally. So I guess we'll start by, I was just going to ask you to kind of talk about how you identify spiritually, you know, whether that's a term or a lifestyle or just whatever spirituality means to you at this point in your life.
Totally. Yeah. Wow. You know, I think my spirituality probably started around the time I was in college, because I grew up sort of Roman Catholic, and I knew I didn't identify as being Catholic, but I loved religion, and I was a religious studies major in college. So I felt like I sort of was sampling the religions and seeing what was going to click with me. And I think nothing really did, but I did recognize this piece of truth within everything. And I was like, what is that like little piece of truth that I'm recognizing in all of these religions? And I sort of realized that it was spirituality and sort of just the belief in the human soul. I knew I believed in past lives. I also knew I believed that everybody had the same sort of phone number to God, I call it. So I knew everybody was connected to God or the universe in some way. And then I sort of, from there, I found my way into witchcraft sort of accidentally. And I don't really know. I think I was doing little spells my whole life. I just didn't know what I was really doing. And it kind of came to a point where I was a little bit of afraid to identify as a witch because I didn't really know what it meant. I had this sort of like Halloween kind of vision of what a witch was. So when I realized that I could really make it my own, that's when my spirituality sort of became witchcraft. And granted, I think I'm still experimenting too with my spirituality, experimenting with what kind of witch I am. I know, I definitely identify as a solitary witch. I definitely identify as a nature worshiper. But there's always a piece of me that wants to keep exploring, you know, what exactly spirituality means to me.
You talked about the path of like religion and studying religion. What about your family as you started to venture down this, witchcraft path? Are they understanding? Are they supportive? Like, how is that?
I think my family thinks I'm a little nuts for sure.
Okay.
But I still get down with the Catholics in a different way now because I truly see it as witchcraft. And, I have cousins in Italy and, going to visit them, it's like, I'm down to go to church. I'm down to do the blood and the body and the Christ of Jesus or whatever. Like I'm down to do everything. Because it's just like, if for me, it means something different now. So it doesn't kill me to sort of be in that Catholic culture because that's what it is to me. It's just the culture. But when it comes down to like my fundamental beliefs, I'm not sure if me and my family meet eye to eye at this very moment. Perhaps there will be a moment where they will want to know more about what I believe in. But at this point, it's sort of like, I'm sure you relate in some way, like just kind of having like that, like I have this belief and no one asks questions about it because they're sort of afraid of the answer.
right, yeah.
Really, I think the most important part of my spirituality at this point is that it is for me and I am my own hierophant in a way. And that's what feels the most important.
So now I'm curious how tarot made its way into your life specifically. And I know that you're also an astrologer. Did tarot come first or did astrology come first or how did that happen?
Well, good question. I think I got this book called The Only Astrology Book You'll Ever Need, which is a huge lie. It's not the only astrology book you'll ever need. But I got that around like 11 or 12. And I remember just being like my soul lit up. And I flipped right to the back chapter where there was all these charts. And I remember just sitting there and being like, how do you read this chart? Like it was already a thing in my mind. Like, I really want to know like how to tell the future. Like that's what I thought like it was essentially. Uh-huh. And I was of course very, very, even at that young age, like reading about Pisces, that gave me sort of more validation than I have ever had in my life about who I am, even at that young of an age, right? So I think astrology was sort of something I was very interested in, but also something that I never really thought I would be doing as a career. Now, fast forward to what astrologers call a 12th house perfection year. So when you are 23, you go through the 12th house perfection year because every year you turn a year older, your perfection year kind of switches. So every 12 years you arrive again at the first house perfection year, right? So when I was 23, I was traveling, I was teaching English in Asia, and I stumbled upon a tarot deck in a bookstore. And I happened to be in Hong Kong, and all of these things on the like metaphysical bookstore were in Chinese. So the only thing on that shelf was like, that was English, was a tarot deck. And I just felt like it was mine. So that's kind of how it happened. Now there's a whole other backstory, but essentially I bought that deck, and I feel like it was that deck and tarot being invited into my life, which then led me to becoming an astrologer. So although astrology came first, it was me reconnecting to my intuition and really realizing my spiritual connection through tarot. And I'm not sure that I would be an astrologer if I wasn't also like communicating with spirit through the tarot. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. I love how intertwined that is. What deck was it? I'm just curious.
So yeah, on this trip to Hong Kong, I got the Osho Zen Tarot, okay, which I still use. I save it for when I'm traveling. So it's sort of now become my travel deck. And I realized within a few days of getting it that, you know, there was a particular way to learn tarot, I realized. And everybody had that, what I called in my head, like that classic deck, which I then came to know as the Rider-Waite-Smith. So before I left Hong Kong, I was like running around the city, and I somehow found one Rider-Waite deck. And so I left the city with then the Osho Zen Tarot and the Rider-Waite deck. And I sort of learned tarot from having those two decks side by side. And yeah, so both of those decks are sort of special to me in a way.
Can you remember the moment when it like clicked for you? I'm always curious, like, because I have a very particular moment where I can remember feeling like, okay, I think it's just unlocked. Like, do you have a memory of that?
I do. I feel definitely. I think I was definitely in like study mode, guidebook mode, collecting information mode for about 3 months. And I feel like I am completely immersed myself in the study of tarot for like, yeah, like four-ish months. Like literally all I did, I think, when I wasn't working or teaching was tarot, right? So there did become a point where some of the other, this is when I was teaching English in Malaysia, and some of the other English teachers who were from America in my same teaching program, they started to ask for like readings. So when they would kind of come over to my house or whatever, like I would just kind of like throw some cards down and see what happens. And I remember I was reading for a friend, and he got the Seven of Pentacles. And it was like a moment where I didn't have to recount what the definition of Seven of Pentacles meant. Actually, I had quite a like weird thing happened. It was like a rewiring of my brain or something. It was like beep, 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 beep. And I just like knew what it meant and for him in that moment.
Yeah.
And I was like, just don't worry about it. Like spirit is meeting you halfway. It was fine. And that's kind of what happened. It just clicked. Was it like that for yourself? Like, were you actually in a reading with someone else?
It was, I've told this story so many times, but it was, my friend Desiree gifted me this journal from when she went to Costa Rica. And I, the same thing, I'd been like studying and reading the books for like, honestly, like probably like a year, not with such devotion, like it sounds like you had, you know, a little bit more just like kind of in my spare time, you know? And then, so one day I was like, I'm going to take this journal to the park. I think, you know, for me, it was like Lindsay Mack was kind of my first like guru, you know? And, I was like, I'm going to take my deck and journal to the park and just like kind of journal and try to get out of the guidebook. Cause she'd been saying to, you know, try that. And I thought I would probably do like a couple of cards or something. And I went through the entire deck in an hour. Like it just came, and I wasn't looking at a guidebook. It just was like coming out of me. And I still have that journal, and I still reference it sometimes because it's really nice to be able to kind of go back to like my beginner. Okay. So you're a Pisces sun. Is that right?
I am. I'm actually a Pisces sun and moon.
Okay.
And I also have Saturn in Pisces. So I have quite like a little Pisces cluster in my chart.
Amazing. I knew I picked the right person. That's amazing. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what it's like to live life with that much Pisces influence? Like, how do you see it showing up for you?
I love this question. I truly feel like I've been waiting my whole life for someone to ask me this question.
You're welcome.
I feel like it's, it is quite, you know, an interesting ride to be a Pisces, because, and I am, what I'm about to say is going to be like the caricature of a Pisces. So, I truly have always identified as an old soul. You know, there were so many times when I was young where things were happening around me with like adults or whatnot, and I like intuitively knew like they were going down the wrong path or something. So there was always this like wisdom that I carried with me, you know, even as a young person. But it was quite also, I think, for Pisces and maybe old souls in general, or even anybody who's sort of intuitive or on a spiritual path, sometimes like being a kid can be difficult because, you know, especially for Pisces, because we're like little old people on the inside, like we're all like 1,000 years old. So how is like 1,000-year-old soul supposed to be a 20-ish year old person? It's really quite difficult. So, you know, I think this concept of age has always been something that has been on my mind too. Like, how old am I really? Like, I know right now I'm 25 earth years old, right? But I also remember past lives that I've had. I also, yeah, remember having like these intuitive moments throughout my life that have sort of led me to where I am now. So I think being a Pisces is sort of this, very much this challenge of being in the human body too. I think Pisces, out of all the signs, really, really struggle with being in the human body, because we want to so live in the crown chakra. We want to live in that third eye. And I mean, I could go on and on about it, but at the same time, I think it's almost like Pisces are also living in that liminal space between reality and fantasy at the same time.
Yeah, well, that's what's interesting, because I definitely can see, because I think it's a lot of what drew me to you originally, how you have a wisdom, you have an age to you, like you're saying, where you have an old soulness. But then you also remind me a lot of my old roommate, who's also a Pisces. And because both of you are so young too, like so young at heart, like you have such a youthfulness and a joyfulness to your persona. So it's kind of, and I hear that about Pisces a lot too, that Pisces are sort of described as being like kind of youthful or playful, you know, and one way that I kind of made that work for me, thinking of my old roommate, was that she's really good with kids, and almost that you never lose that sense of childlike imagination, which I think is maybe connected to that sense of having one foot here and one foot beyond, which people say that about Pisces, kind of, you know, straddling the line of liminal space, like you're saying. Do you feel like that?
Oh yeah, definitely. Like kids light me up. Like if I could just give Reiki to children all day, that's what I would do. Like, that's really, truly, I love working with kids. And, you know, Pisces are ruled by Jupiter traditionally. Modern astrology gives Neptune as the ruler of Pisces, but like Hellenistic traditional astrologers would say Pisces is ruled by Jupiter, which is really interesting, because that would mean that Sagittarius and Pisces sort of share the same planet. And we can see that Jupiter in Sagittarius quite easily. We see like Sagittarius is that sort of like adventurer. It's almost like the philosophy major, like Sagittarius really wants to like go and find truth and learn about all different kinds of things on this planet, right? But Pisces are sort of like the Sagittarius of the ethers, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So us sort of sharing the planet, Jupiter, Sagittarius is sort of learning about everything there is to be learned about on Earth. Pisces is sort of learning about everything that there is in the cosmos, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we both share Jupiter, and Jupiter is that child fun expansion kind of thing. That joyful, benefic planet that everybody likes.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Yeah. I mean, it's nice. It's a nice balance for you guys, and you're very pleasant to be around. I love Pisces. So that's awesome. All right. So why don't we talk a little bit about the moon card? Why don't you talk a little bit, just briefly, like in astrology as a starter, what role do you see the moon playing in astrology?
Oh yes. So the moon as a planet you're talking about. Yeah. So, you know, the moon, what's interesting about the moon is that it's the fastest moving planet, right? So it cycles through all of the signs very, very quickly. And, you know, this is sort of where, let's say, you know, Cancer, which is the moon ruled sign, what's the stereotype of Cancer? They're moody, right? Like they're changing their mood every second. Well, I say, of course they are, because they're ruled by the moon, and the moon changes, you know, every couple of days, right? So with that, we can kind of see that flexibility of the planet. We can see how this planet is almost like a chameleon. It cycles through the signs in a very, not only in a quick way, but almost like it gets to know that sign for like 2 or 3 days, and then it switches, and then it goes and goes and goes and just keeps going round and round and round. Now, psychologically speaking, the moon is sort of how we react to our environment, if that makes sense. So we can consider it to be our emotions, also our childhood, also our memories. But really, our moon sign is going to come out the most when we're in sort of that like animalistic side, which actually relates to the moon card in the tarot. So even us as individuals, how we react to a tarot card, how we react to someone honking at us in the car, how we react to a, you know, hate comments on Instagram or something, that reaction to our environment, that's usually coming from our moon sign. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. And actually this past Cancer season, when you, I think it was in one of your emails, you talked about the fast movingness of the moon and going, and of course that meant that Cancer could feel kind of moody. And I'd never thought about that before, but that like really opened a door for me, in kind of understanding that. So yeah, I love that. It also makes me think of the shapeshifter card and, Postcards of the Liminal Space. So in the traditional image of the moon card, there usually is water present, obviously, for that sort of intuitive sense. There's a moon, obviously, and then there are usually some animals, like you're talking about, like kind of animalistic nature, which I like that you said that, because that's actually something that I always talk about with the moon card whenever I pull it, you know, for people. So I like that you pointed that out. But you and I had talked offline about the fact that there's usually a lobster present. And you mentioned that in your current class that you and your students have been talking about it. What did you guys think about the lobster? Did you come to any decisions on it?
Well, it's so funny because, you know, I feel like I can speak to most of the images in the moon card just from like what you know, both what I've read and also what I intuitively feel, right? But the laughter continues to sort of, you know, raise, like, make me raise a brow a little bit. And my, one of my students in class was like, wait a second, like, what does the laughter mean? And I really don't feel satisfied with much that I've read. I know that the textbook definition of the lobster, or sometimes it's referred to as a crayfish, you know, most people will say it's sort of a symbol of the, like, subconscious, you know, it's a water animal. It's something that is just sort of reiterating the sort of watery, deep, foggy, murky kind of meaning of the moon card. But I also think it's interesting that a shelled animal shows up in the moon, which is technically associated with Pisces, right? Because out of all of the water signs, Cancer, Scorpio, Pisces, Pisces is actually the only water sign without a shell. So Pisces is the only water sign without protection. You know, that's why we swim away so fast, because we don't have the shell of the crab. We also don't have that sort of poison or the shell of the scorpion. So I think there's a little bit of, like, you know, Pamela Coleman Smith's choice to sort of pencil in that lobster there. You know, I'm not sure if she had, like, astrological significance in mind. I'm sure she did in some way. But it feels like it's kind of almost tying all of the water signs together in this card, not just Pisces.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever seen the movie The Lobster?
No, I haven't.
I know, I haven't either. It makes me wonder if there would be a tie-in there at all. Like, I'm not even sure what the plot line is, but I'll have to look that up. Well, I've got nothing for you, but that was great what you said.
Well, when I think of the lobster in film, throughout history, the one thing I think of is the Amanda Show, Colin the Dancing Lobster.
So, oh, yeah.
I'm not sure if I can speak to the lobster's appearance in film in any deep way.
So when you see this card show up, like, in a reading, or if you pull it, you know, for yourself, or just when you think about it, what are some of the traits or things that come to mind for you?
Yeah, you know, when the card comes up for me or a client, it's typically a sign, you know, I know that there is some confusion and an air of just, I don't know, like, there's such an unknown kind of aspect to the moon card. We don't get the moon card when we really feel all that confident about the direction we're heading, right? It's sort of this card that comes out when we really do feel we're in a little bit of, like, a mini dark night of the soul. We're in this sort of place where we don't know what's coming tomorrow. We don't know what's next. We might even feel lost in the moon card at some point, right? Now, something I like to think about with the moon card, though, is the fact that there are no humans in the card. And, you know, if you look at the entire system, at least in the Rider-Waite system, there's pretty much a human in every single card except, like, a handful. So I think it's really important to pay attention to the cards that don't have a human character. You know, for instance, like the Wheel of Fortune, right? The Wheel of Fortune being Jupiter, relating back to Pisces, and we're in the moon card here. So, you know, both the Wheel of the Fortune and the moon, because they don't have a human, they're getting us to think about spirits in a new way. So that's what I like to think of with the moon too. There's an intuitive download. There's a spiritual connection to be had, but it's very hard to be connected to spirit when you're also in that animalistic panic. Oh my God, I don't know what's next. I don't know what to do. I feel in the dark. That's pretty much the space where it's the hardest to connect with spirit. So we get quite a challenge in the moon card from my perspective. But I want to know what you think, because maybe you have a little bit more of like a positive spin on it. I feel like I just made it sound like a pretty quote unquote scary card, but I don't know.
Well, you know what's funny is I always have loved pulling this card since I started reading tarot, and then it was only like honestly a few months ago that someone I think on the Instagram sphere, you know, was saying that they were so like terrified of pulling the moon card, or like really resistant to it, you know, or something. And I was like, why? I was like, why? It kind of felt like, you know how a lot of tarot people like love to pull the High Priestess, for instance, like, cause it's like, oh yes, you know, I'm like behind the veil or whatever. And I used to kind of feel like a little bit like that with the moon card. Like it really fell along those lines to me. And he was like, yeah, it scares me, or it confuses me. I don't really get it, you know, something like that. And so up until that point, I had always for clients interpreted the moon card as your animalistic side, like you're saying, but more along the lines of like that you've been repressing that side of yourself, and that you literally need to let yourself go outside and howl at the moon, like literally unleash and kind of reconnect, you know, with that. And I remember in particular last Christmas, I did a reading for a woman, and we talked a lot about the moon card showed up very prominently, and we talked a lot about that. And she was like, oh my God, you know, yes, I hear that, I get it, you know, whatever. And since then, like, I have done more investigating and more listening to other, you know, people. And now I see, now I do, it does have a different, an air of dreaminess, I guess, to me. Like, I've added in that layer of like dreams and the fogginess that can maybe come with that and misunderstanding. But I guess I still feel it. And it's interesting because the conversation we're having about you being Pisces and the way that, you know, you're like, I'm an old soul. And then I'm saying, well, I really see a lot of youthfulness in you and a youthfulness in Pisces. Maybe there's a dichotomy in the card where you might think it's confusing or think it's heavy or think it's dense, but also it definitely has an invitation into just release and maybe accepting, like just more raw release, you know?
Oh yeah. I love that too, for sure. I can see that, because actually the moon, it's one of my favorite, not one of my favorite cards to receive per se, but it's one of my favorite spots in the tarot, because like that trifecta of the star, the moon, and the sun is probably, I mean, maybe the most intriguing part of the major arcana to me. Mm-hmm. I just love that part of the fool's journey, because it's like the fool gets this like blast of hope and faith in the star, and then the universe just like send them into the dark again, you know, into the moon. And I think that's the trap with the moon. Sometimes we think we're never going to get out of this, like, but then the sun comes up really quickly too. Mm-hmm. So the sun comes right after this card. So sometimes too, you know, we think our suffering is going to be lasting forever, but at the same time, anything and everything could change tomorrow, right? And I think the moon reminds us of that. And what you said too about just needing to go out and howl at the moon, Pisces really need that, because Pisces really leave their bodies a lot. You know, we sometimes even get mad that we're on Earth. We would much prefer to be like on the other side helping spirit, you know, being like spirit guides or something like that. You know, so to be on Earth and kind of reconnect with that animalistic side, it can be very hard for Pisces to do. So I love that part that you gave with that.
I also think a lot about, like, with the sun, you know, and the meaning of the sun card oftentimes being related to your life path or sort of your sense of ego or self, or, you know. So one time I heard it described that, you know, we can't look directly at the sun. And so the moon generously reflects the sun's light in such a way that we can look at it. You know, we can look at the moon. So it's interesting that the moon card comes before the sun, because it's almost like a kind, soft entrance into ourself, like our life path, you know, that we can gaze at it, we can start to take it in, we can, even it might seem foggy, it might seem not quite all formed, but it's starting to like come into form, you know, and then in the sun, it comes fully into form.
Yeah, I love that for sure. And, you know, I think for anybody who might be struggling a bit with the moon card, I honestly don't remember who said this or who told me this, but, or where I read this, but like actually putting yourself as a character into this card, or into any card that you don't get, and see, like, in your mind's eye, in your imagination, what happens when you're actually in the card. And if we do imagine ourselves into the moon card, at least when I do it, I imagine myself as literally in a pitch black forest where I am unable to use my eyesight as a sense, like it's that black. But I do have my like hands, and I have my senses, and I have like my animalistic nature, and I also have my connection to spirit. So I actually, when I imagine myself into the moon card, spirit becomes my truly my only way of seeing, which is quite a Pisces answer, I think.
Yeah. I was also thinking right before we hopped on, I just got a new book today, Susan Chang's Tarot Correspondences. I don't know if you've ever heard of that or heard of her. She was just on Amanda Yates Garcia's podcast. I don't know if you ever listened to Between the Worlds, but it's a great episode. And so I was kind of starting to look through it, and I was just noticing she has a ton of tables and, you know, the correspondences. And I've never thought about the fact that starting with the devil, it's always the devil, the something, the this, the that, like all the way through, I guess the sun is the last one. And I was just kind of thinking about that, like why right there in that moment of the journey, it starts to become that way for like a little bit, you know?
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's an interesting thought. I've never thought about that before, but it feels like we're, at least in the third line of the tarot, we're in our most intense spiritual experiences, I think, because up until this point, we haven't had sort of the knowledge or the truth or the awakening to actually walk through the devil, walk through the tower, star, sun, moon, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So it's almost like that added the moon, the sun, the tower. It's sort of like an added, like, dun, 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 like on the scene, the scene of the card, I guess.
right. And I guess in a way that also would mirror line one, because it would be the fool, you know, the magician, the high priestess, the all the thes. And then in the second line, we sort of take a little break from the, and then we come back to it, which is kind of interesting.
Right. It's interesting. Sure.
Yeah. Do you read reversals?
I do. Yes, I definitely do. And I know you do not. And I actually love your way of explaining why you don't. And I think it's definitely valid. I do read reversals, but my reversals are rare because the way I shuffled my deck, I always shuffle every card upright. So, and then when I'm pulling cards for myself or my client, I'm doing sort of the shuffle and let the card fly out method. Mm-hmm. If you, I mean, I guess we have listeners here, so they can't see me doing this, but essentially just shuffling until a card that wants to come out flies out.
Mm-hmm.
So if that card flies out as reversed, I read it reversed. But that also doesn't mean that I am not thinking about the reversed meaning when the card is upright.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of my favorite, probably like my favorite tarot person, Tatiana Tarot, once she either said on Twitter or Instagram, she said something like, reversed or upright, the reversed is always implied. And I resonate with that so hard. Like, even if the cards are all upright, I'm still thinking about the reversed meaning. And if I feel intuitively drawn to that, I'll say it. So,
yeah,
I do, to answer your question, yes, but also kind of in a weird way.
What sort of different nuance might the moon take on if it was reversed?
Oh, it's funny that you asked me that, because the moon reversed tells me that you are trying to force clarity. Because for me, again, when we're in the moon, there has to be some kind of acceptance that you don't know. Mm-hmm. You are waiting for spirit to come and get you. You know, you're sort of accepting that you don't know the next step, and you're kind of just sort of waiting and being okay with not knowing. So if the moon comes out in reverse, at least for me, I mean, sometimes it could be this feeling is passing, you know, but also most of the time it's like, you really want to know, like you are, at least in my sense, like you're like on apartments.com right now, you're on Zillow and like stalking Zillow and trying to figure out the next place you're going. Like you're being impatient. You're not letting spirit meet you halfway. You're trying to like really control this. But Pisces, that's not the job here. The Pisces job is to sort of teach everybody how to connect to the other side.
And then I'm assuming that you work with moon cycles in your practice, like in your witchcraft practice or in your spiritual practice. I was curious to hear a little bit about how you like to do that. Is my assumption correct?
That's an interesting, yes and no.
Okay.
Today I do know that the moon is in Sagittarius. Like, I'm aware of what the moon is doing every day. And maybe I'll make note of it, like, oh, today the moon is in Sagittarius, so the moon is in my ninth house. Like, I kind of make note of it in more of like a mathematical kind of way. But I'm not designing my life around like, oh, you know, yesterday the moon was in Scorpio, I should be resting or whatnot. Mm-hmm.
Do you do like new and full moon rituals at all?
When I feel called, yes and no. Particularly in 2020, the astrology of the lunar events has not been great.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends how the moon is aspected. For instance, the past new moon in Leo, I did do a ritual because that moon was positively aspected. I believe it had like a trine to Mars, and that moon in Leo was also conjunct Mercury. So I felt that was a good omen to sort of, do a ritual or put something out into the world. But if like a full moon is like opposing Pluto or something, I might not feel it is the best time to put something out there, if that makes sense. I really look at the astrological meaning behind it.
yeah, that's, I should do my homework more. That's great.
Granted, though, if you are also, though, like, I know so many people who get a lot out of just working with the sign of the moon, and it really works for them. So, you know, maybe I would actually not pull too many people over to my side, because then it actually drives you crazy, because then you're like checking and you're like, wait a second, like, is this the right day to do something? And should I like release my podcast on this day? The electional thing is too, like, it just, like, I don't know if you want to come over here. Like, if you're content with the sign based moon ritual stuff, just enjoy yourself over there.
I did recently put in an order from House of Hoodoo. And do you know House of Hoodoo? Yeah. And so she includes some incredible one-sheeters with everything that you purchase that tell you like how to work with it. And the fixed candle that I got, she said that you should do it on a Tuesday because it was a road opener candle. And I don't normally worry with day correspondences really very much. I mean, sometimes, like, really only I would say like Mondays and Fridays might be the only couple of days that I work with, but I did it, and it, I don't know if it was that or what it, or just her work or whatever, but that candle, that really did the trick. So I might be trying to do more weekday correspondence work because it really worked.
Yeah. I'm actually more into that weekday correspondence than I would say the actual moon sign correspondence, like knowing that Monday is Moon Day or Saturday is Saturn Day. Yeah. I actually like thinking of that more. That vibes with me better.
Yeah. And we've talked about our shared love of Saturn, and I do like to do magical workings on Saturday nights. I jive with that. I really like that a lot. Well, my last question for you before we do our card pull is, I've talked with you before about your sense of being psychic or intuitive, and because that does play into this idea of the moon in Pisces, I was just curious to hear really what your experience has been with that, if you are still comfortable with that term, or how you know and really beyond the terminology, just what that really means to you. I'm just really curious how you experience that psychic or intuitive connection.
Yeah. I love this question because it's something that I feel specifically passionate about. And I wanted to sort of talk even more on my own podcast about this sort of redefining of the word psychic, because I've noticed in the short time that I've been a practitioner, if you say the word psychic to like a muggle, they think you're a shyster. They think you're like completely like, you know, just fake or trying to take your money or whatever. So there's this inherent connection I'm realizing to the word psychic and like a scammer. And I really don't like that. I don't like that feeling. And that also then kind of relates to sometimes having readings, you know, when you're marketing yourself as a psychic, sometimes you'll sort of get those readings where people are testing you too. There's a lot, it's a loaded word, I think, to sort of claim, but yet I continue to go back to it. I continue to sort of resonate with it, at least right now in the version that I am right now. It is sort of reclaiming the word psychic, not as someone who's trying to steal your money, not as someone who's trying to like sell you something or even take your power away. I think the word psychic can be redefined as like someone who you can go to, I guess, for reassurance on the path, someone who you can go to for like comfort and sort of spiritual nurturing. I sort of liken the word psychic a little bit more to something like, just like a mentor or a healer, you know. But at the same time, sometimes I'm like, is this word going to vibe with people? Should I just say intuitive? Because somehow intuitive feels a little less offensive. So sometimes I just go with intuitive too. To sort of explain a little bit more too, when I say I'm psychic, I don't believe I have this like magical golden parrot that's coming down from heaven, landing on my shoulder and like whispering, you know, oracles into my ear, right? I've also realized over time that my psychic or intuitive ability, whatever you want to call it, it's very quiet, very soft. It's a knowing. It's not this like thing, this Hollywood thing that people think. And I think that's what stops people from recognizing their own intuition, because they don't realize sometimes it's quiet. Sometimes it's not a huge, massive sign. Sometimes it's just this little thing, and it doesn't make it more, any more or less like significant, I guess.
Yeah. I love that. I love you talking about that. And I do you believe that all people have this ability in some capacity?
Definitely. I believe that everybody has the same phone number to God. Everybody has the same connection. However, when we look at a natal chart, we can see if someone has a little bit of more of a predisposition to be, more, a little bit more intuitive, a little bit more relying on that sense. So we might look at like the moon, we might look at Neptune, we might look at Uranus. There's actually many different planets, many different combinations that could signify this person has, again, that predisposition to be more comfortable with using their intuition, using that side of them. There's other things in the chart that could say, like this person is cut off from that. This person is very much of the very logical, fact-based, it must be there in front of you to believe it too. So it's not to say those people aren't connected to God. Like, I don't think an atheist is any less connected to God than I am. It's just like the way we view truth is different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you feel ready to do a card pull?
Let's do it.
All right. I'm going to push this back. So just, you know, send me your energy as I shuffle. I'll angle the camera down. Yes, we pulled my sun card. We pulled justice.
Oh my gosh. That's interesting. I've been getting the justice card lately a lot. I'm not saying that. Yeah.
All right. So I'm very curious, obviously, to hear your thoughts on this card. I will start by saying a little bit about what I always think with this card. A couple of things. One thing that I always think with this card is that the time has really come to get real in a lot of ways, where you're really being asked to kind of really ask yourself, is this working or is this not? And in what ways am I kind of fooling myself into thinking things are working that really aren't, you know, or what pieces of my life are still kind of hanging around and I'm just kind of letting them be there, even though I really know it's time to kind of cut the cord in some way. And I also think a lot with the Justice card about when you know better, you do better, the Maya Angelou quote, that when you reach the justice moment, which is, you know, the center point of the major line, that you've learned a lot of lessons along the way. And so the question then becomes, how are you going to let all those lessons you've learned so far help you make a better choice moving forward? You know, how are you going to make it count, really, you know, and let those lessons not be in vain, you know, but really let them sink in, really consider them and really let them perhaps change your mind, you know, moving forward. What do you think when you see this card?
Yes to all of that. Oh yeah, that makes, yep, that's perfect sense. And I think Yeah, I think the card can kind of be like a test in a way. Like, are you ready to level up or are you ready to throw in the towel kind of vibe? And it relates to sort of Libra, you know, being the season where we sort of weigh the crops in the scale. We see how much we actually grew and how much work it took to grow that, and is it sustainable, and all of that fun stuff you have to think about when you own your own business and, you know, everything like that. So that definitely rings true for my life at the moment, for sure.
Yeah. And I can attest, being a Libra and being a Libra in like a lot of ways. I think the struggle for Libra is like, you know, can be making the choice, because Libras are really able. And I think in the Justice card, you're really able to see all the sides of the issue, you know, like, someone that's very full of justice is really able to pull themselves out of the situation and really see the viewpoints of all sides. And so it can be really hard to then take action, you know, and I think in a lot of ways, that's kind of the invitation of the Justice card, is like, how are you going to actually act? You know, how are you going to use your ability to see the big picture and then actually take a step forward, rather than getting stuck in just getting lost in the ability to see all the sides, you know?
Yeah. One decision can change our lives. One decision can help balance the karma of not only this life, but also many past lives too. So I think, yeah, much weighs on the Justice card.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I hope you feel good about that.
I do. I feel a little like, okay, spirit, like this is serious. A little.
Right. Right.
We'll talk more after this. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, Mal, this has been fantastic. Just like I knew it would be. And happy full moon in Pisces to you. Before we sign off, I just want to give you a chance to tell everybody how they can find you out there in the world. And if you have any offerings coming up that you want to talk about, whatever you want to give to the people.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Thanks for giving me the platform to say so. My website is just horoscopewitch.com. And then my Instagram is at Horoscope Witch. And every Sunday, just about every Sunday, I do a little weekly sermon, Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I call it Witch Church. It's where me and Nick met. And I give a little weekly sermon. I do some live tarot card pulls. So yeah, come join me over there if you feel called.
And you've been having a tarot class over the summer. Are you planning to do that again anytime soon?
Yeah, absolutely. So I did a live online tarot course, an 8-week course. This week happens to be the last week, so I'm kind of sad. But in September, I will be sort of in the shop filming, and I'm kind of planning to launch a different kind of class that's a little bit more pre-recorded. But I imagine there will definitely be another online live tarot class to be had, because ultimately I really like teaching on in real time, you know? So there'll definitely be more courses to come. And oh, and then my podcast, the Horoscope Witch podcast. So which hopefully you'll come on someday. We'll see what we have to talk about.
Yeah, we can do a trade. I'd love to. All right. Yeah. Well, thank you, Mal. And I hope everybody goes and finds you, because you're amazing. And yeah, just thank you so much.
Thank you, Nick. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week.